Now, us Brits might be known and indeed ridiculed for our copious tea intake, but it was actually coffee that first cornered the UK market, and that was in the 1640s. Tea didn't come along until some 20 years later.
So to find more about our coffee history, I went to find out how a humble bean is processed into a delicious brew with Alex Summers at Cambridge University's Botanic Gardens.
So there are two main species of coffee that are grown worldwide, Coffea arabica and Coffea robusta. The high quality coffees come from Coffea arabica, and the lower quality, higher yields come from Coffea robusta.
I'm looking at the two of them. One's just a bit shorter. They've both got sort of crinkled leaves, like someone's got a hair crimper and crimped the leaves for them. But otherwise, they're remarkably similar.
It shouldn't be unsurprising that they look similar, because Coffea arabica probably has similar ancestry to Coffea canephora or the robusta coffee. In the case of Coffea arabica, it has four copies of the chromosomes or the genetic material.
Now, we all know that plants like these are famous for their levels of caffeine, but why do they produce caffeine in the first place?
It's quite interesting. They did an experiment with a spider. They got it to spin a web, and they fed it all manner of different drugs, from cocaine, ecstasy, and caffeine. And what they found was that the spider produced the most erratic web when it was under the influence of caffeine. So you can truly see how effective caffeine is as an anti-herbivory agent. Not necessarily so much is the case for ourselves.
I assume you're not just growing it to make a lovely cup of coffee today. Why do you have it here at the Botanical Gardens?
Funnily enough, actually, the opportunity to make a cup of coffee is great, but the real reason that we have it, like most of the collections here, is to provide both a resource to the university, but also to provide a resource to the public. So in the case of coffee, we're all familiar with it from the shops, but it's nice to give people an idea of actually where it grows and where it comes from.
Beans picked, we peeled off the red flesh, dried them, and finally scraped off the outer husk to reveal the green bean underneath. Next stop was an artisan coffee shop called Hot Numbers for roasting. So Alex and I set off with a handful of botanical beans to meet Simon Fraser.
We're just going to actually weigh the content of this.
It's about a handful, isn't it?
It is. It's quite a small amount, but we'll work with it. I'm just going to turn the scales on. We'll see. We've 10 grams. So we'll try and make a very small filter coffee with this afterwards.
Simon fired up the roaster to 150 degrees C, and not a degree more, because even a couple of degrees can turn a good cup of coffee into a bad one.
It's a glorified tumble dryer, I reckon, with a big colander underneath.
I have to admit, it does look very swish. It's all sort of black and stainless steel. I would say almost steam engine-like.
Yeah, it is very much.
A steam engine with two windows, one where you can see the flames and the other where you can see the coffee beans jump around the drum while they roast.
We have a sample spoon underneath it where we can pull out the coffee as it's roasting. And then, after the coffee's roasted and we're happy with the colour, then we'll drop it into this big cooling tray here, and that will cool the coffee. If we didn't do that, the coffee would carry on roasting and you would get a lot of baked flavours going on.
I suppose much like an egg continues to cook after you boil it, unless you peel it very quick.
That's it.
So we don't get dippy eggs.
No,
get
no.
Hard-boiled eggs.
That's it. Well, let's hope for some hard-boiled coffee. So,
with all our fingers and toes crossed, we poured the beans into the roaster. Alex from the Botanical Gardens, Simon and I, we all watched in awe at our hard work roll around the machine, much like clothes in a tumble dryer. And then the beans began to pop like popcorn.
So we're approaching first crack. The beans are agitating a lot more. They're giving off a lot more energy and they're doubling in size.
I can't tell. My non-coffee connoisseur eye can't tell the difference. I can tell they've changed colour.
I can see they're dancing more and they've got a snap to them now.
Yeah, much more of a caramel.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and I can definitely get the smell of coffee now, but that smell you associate with the...
Unless you could... I think you might be smelling some from that tub there, actually.
Well, it smells really nice. Whatever it is, it smells really good.
Because it's often confused, but when we're roasting coffee, it's usually... You'd expect it to be the coffee smell, but it's not. It's actually like a sort of a toast smell. It's like a breakfast smell that you'd get in the morning. We're about to drop the coffee out into the cooling tray from the drum. Here we are. Looking a bit patchy, but you know, it's the best we could do under the circumstances, I believe. But you know, they've got a bit of mottling and a bit of, you know, difference in colour. But
I would say characteristic of the Botanical Gardens.
Is that right?
Yeah, characteristic.
Not sure we want to own that one.
Patchy in colour or not, the proof is in the taste. So we ground them up and brewed them. But first, I had a quick question about the science of grinding. In supermarkets, you might have seen that on the packaging it says ground for French press or espresso or whatever. But do you really need to buy a different grind for different types of brewing? Or is this just some clever marketing ploy?
The grinder is probably most important in getting the consistency between the beans. And if you've got a good grinder, then you get an even surface area. And the more evenness between the beans, the better the extraction. And so, yes, for espresso, you want a fine grind. As you're getting more towards the sort of mocha pot, it wants to go a little bit coarser. And as you go to French press, that's the coarsest grind. So we're going to grind this coffee up for paper filter.
Away we go. I feel tense. Do you feel tense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible.
When you actually buy a cup of coffee,
cheers. Cheers, cheers,
cheers. It definitely is rummy.
Yeah, some rum, almost some sort of sherry elements.
See, look, it didn't taste like mud, Alex.
No, it didn't. I'm really happy, actually. I would actually drink that.
How would you say this compares to what you would normally be brewing?
It's funny because it's like nothing that I've tasted really. And you know, it's not bad actually. I'm really quite enjoying it. I mean, it's very different.
So if Alex was to set up his own cultivation business at Cambridge Botanical Gardens, would you buy his coffee?
Well, I'd certainly give it another go to put through the roaster, but I might need more than about 10 grams.
So. Alex, what do you say? I mean, I feel like I should be a shareholder at least, having introduced you guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think what we'll put to the director is ripping out all the plants and just putting coffee right through the tropical houses.
Yeah. Simon Fraser from Hot Numbers and Alex Summers, he's from the Cambridge Botanic Gardens. So, Greya, did you bring us some back?
No, I didn't. And sadly, there was about 30 beans in there, which was just about enough for one cup. But, you know, you can't complain. I did bring you some delicious coffee to try.
No, you absolutely did.